Well, I guess I've got to start with Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Everybody excited about Valentine's Day? Eh? Are you excited? Like, I mean, like, to Valentine's Day, I mean, it's just like, it's one of those days of, like, love, isn't it? And of roses and flowers and chocolate and, you know, all that stuff that guys get really excited about? You know, like, I remember a few years ago, there's this guy, Jay Leno, who's, like, on The Tonight Show, and I remember him talking on Valentine's Day, right? And he said, Valentine's Day. Today is Valentine's Day, he said. Or as guys like to call it, extortion day. You know, but like, I mean, none of you guys are like that. I know all you guys here are like fierce romantics, right? Like you just today is about like, you know, just loving the woman that you've got, if you've got one, you know, and just like flowers and all those sorts of things. I know that's exactly what you're all about, right? It's kind of interesting though that like Valentine's Day, like, it dates right back to this guy called Saint Valentine, right? Which is actually, they don't really know who it is. There was three Saint Valentines. Okay, so I won't go too much into the detail because it just gets really boring. But somewhere along the line after St. Valentine was kind of there, they had this Valentine's Day and then it merged and became this thing that was associated with love. And the other thing that's associated with love is like the love heart, right? So like we've all seen the love heart, right? So there's a picture that's going to come up here. So the love heart actually like dates back into art and that sort of thing, right back into the like 11th century. So that picture you can see up there, that's Jesus, in case you were wondering who it was, and if you didn't know what Jesus looks like, apparently that's what he looks like. But so you can see there that on the Bible that he's holding, there's love hearts. And so right back like hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, the symbol was associated with not just love, but with the heart and with like Christianity. The popular love heart like came about and it became kind of popularized in the 70s with I Love New York or I Heart New York, right? So that's where the heart really started becoming a symbol that was used in modern day. And nowadays, I mean, we've got like hearts for everything. So that's a snapshot of my phone, right? Like there's blue hearts and yellow hearts and pink hearts and, you know, exclamation mark hearts. I mean, there's all these kind of hearts that you can use to describe stuff. And in fact, hearts have become so big that like if you've got a watch like this, you can send your heartbeat to somebody, right? Like if somebody else has got a watch like this, you can actually send your heartbeat to them and they feel your heartbeat on their wrist, right? The problem I've got, I only know two people that have got a watch like this. And one of them's a guy at work. And so like we've weirded each other out a couple of times by sending them our heartbeat. And the other one's Craig Barrow. And like I know him, but I don't know him really well. So, like, for me to send my heartbeat to him would just, like, be super weird. Maybe I should do it. Maybe he's speaking this morning. Maybe I should, like, do it at 10:30, send him my heartbeat just to weird him out or something, right? But the point is this. Over the thousands of years, there has been this connection between our heart and love. And it's interesting that, like, often it is symbolized through this shape. Love and the heart and life, somehow they all go hand in hand. And when we feel love, we feel most alive. And when we feel like we have no love is the times that we feel most empty. And it's kind of our hearts and our love and the life that God created us to be and live are all kind of linked. And while it's pure coincidence that today we start a series called Loved to Love, it's obviously not coincidence in terms of what God was planning. So happy Valentine's Day. Today we're going to find out what it means to be loved. And so if you've got a Bible, or if you need a Bible, put your hand up, and do we still do that? Somebody will kind of bring you a Bible. Otherwise, grab your phones, which is what most of you do, and like kind of, you know, turn to or like scroll to or navigate to or whatever it is you do on apps nowadays to 1 John 4:7. And as you go there, let me tell you a little bit about 1 John. So 1 John is the Apostle John, which is actually also the disciple John. So he actually was one of Jesus' disciples. He lived with him and hung out with him and knew Jesus personally. And he's writing this book about 90 AD to kind of overcome some false teaching that was going on. And to draw people back to the fact that God is who God is and what God is all about. And in fact, at the beginning of chapter 4, he's saying that we should test the spirits because not all prophecy is from God, to make sure that what we're being taught is actually from God. And so we pick up in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. And shortly we're going to kind of consider what it is that God is love. But before that, I just thought we would read through this and just identify some of the things just to remind us what it is that God like is when he talks about love. So it says in verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So the first thing that we know is that John is telling us that we need to love one another because we are loved by God. Everyone who has been born of God and knows God, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So God showed his love for us by sending Jesus into the world. And this is love, it says in verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so what that means, as pretty much all of you know, right, is that God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world. And, and so God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world to pay the price for our sin, to completely clear us from our sin, to make us free from our sin, to restore us back to the relationship that we should have with God. That's how much he loved us. He created us in the very instance, but not that. Not only that, when we sinned, he actually sent his Son to die for us. And it says in verse 11, Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Now there's a little catch in here. Like, as you start loving one another, God's love lives in you and makes you more complete. There's almost this kind of feeling that if you're not loving one another, that you're not going to fully experience the love of God. And then it reminds me of this passage in John 13. It says, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Skip down to verse 16. He says this, "And so we know and rely on God's love." God's love is reliable. Like, you can get it. You can rely on the fact that God's love is there. "God is love," it says again. "Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love." There is nothing to fear in love if you have love of Jesus in you. There's nothing to fear. Everything's taken away. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has no punishment. There is the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So I kind of tell you all of that stuff just to recap. But I know that, like, most of you are going, like, "Oh, yeah, let's face it, I've heard most of that before." And it's really easy when you start going through passages that you're incredibly familiar with to start going, like, "Yeah, God loves me. I know Jesus sent his Son, and I really appreciate it. But some days I don't feel it that much, but he actually loves me." And it's really easy to have this intellectual knowledge of what it is. But today I want to look at, like, this attribute of God, and this incredible phrase that John uses twice. In 1 John 4:8, he says, "God is love." In 1 John 4:16, he says, "God is love." God is love. He doesn't have love or give love. He is love. He's like the creator of love, the substance of love, the meaning and definition of love. The essence of who God is love. God is love. And it's one of his attributes. It's one of the things that defines him, you know? Like, an attribute is this word that kind of means describes who he is and his being. You know, he's got other attributes, which would be like his he's all-knowing. Right? He's omniscient is the word that they use, but he's all-knowing. He knows everything. And if you were to describe that attribute, you would say you get something of the understanding of God's mind. Or God is like all-powerful, omnipotent, right? Like he possesses all power. He can create everything. And when you understand that attribute, you get to understand something of like God's strength. But when it says God is love, you get to understand something of God's heart. His heart, the very core of his being, is love. John actually says a couple other times in his writing two things that God is. In John chapter 4, he says God is spirit. And he's quoting Jesus, who's talking to the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman's talking about where she's going to go to worship God. And Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who believe in me worship me in spirit and in truth. And it's really important to understand that God is spirit because it's a contrast to our physical. You know, like everything that we have, this chair is physical. We see and touch and experience things physically. Even the wind, we know it exists because we feel it. It's physical. But God is spiritual. He is not physical at all. And that means that God is spirit. It means it's powerful, that he's free from all the limitations of space or time or distance. He's all present and he is everywhere because he is spiritual. So what does that have to do with God as love? It means this, like it's important because God is love. It means that his love is everywhere. There's a sense with which God's love is like there's this common love in terms of God has common grace for all of the world. The fact that God hasn't wiped out the world is actually driven by this fact that God has love for everybody and a desire for them to come and know him. But apart from that, God's love is everywhere because God is spirit. It surrounds us every moment of every day. We are surrounded by God's love. And then Paul says, like, God is, John, in 1 John again, he says, God is light. In fact, it says, in him there is absolutely no darkness at all. He is completely pure. There is no sin. He's unchanging and perfect. It means he's incredibly holy. God is light. There is nothing about him that has anything evil in him. There is nothing about him that can change. He is constant and pure. And when we consider that to love, it's amazing because we start to understand that the love that God has when it says God is love is a pure love, a holy love, a love that, like, his holiness is a loving holiness. His hate for sin, like, he hates sin, right? And it's born out of love. Because his love for us is so vast that he actually knows that for us to sin is actually bad for us. And he longs for us to know him. And so he has this love that is this pure love. It's unwavering and unchanging. It's nothing like the like lazy word that we have for love. I mean, we use the word love crazy lazy, right? Like, so I go in my wedding vows a few years ago now, like, you know, I go, I love you to my wife, but I also love chocolate, you know, like, and it's like, what? Those two words don't mean the same thing. God's love is nothing like that. It's not that fickle. You know, when you're growing up and you're like, you know, you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, and you're like, oh, you love this one and you love this one, and then, you know, like, it's nothing like that. God's love is pure and unchanging. Because God is light, and God is spirit, and God is love. I want you to consider this for a minute. Maybe just even, you can't visualize it, right? Because it, like, I'm trying to get you to grasp the spiritual. But God is love. And his love, his pure love, surrounds you right where you are right now. like you're completely enveloped in his love. There is no part of you that he can't see into or know or anything like that. He knows every thought that is going on in your mind because his love, because he's spiritual, is actually individual. He knows you right now. He knows how distant you feel from him or how close you feel to him. And if you've got the Spirit of God living to you, in you, it gets even bigger than that. It's interesting though, isn't it? Oftentimes, we know God loves us, but we don't experience the love of God. Our ability to love others in this weird way is reliant on our ability to experience God's love. And our ability to experience God's love, as Dave will tell you next week, is actually linked to us actually loving others and loving our neighbors and loving God. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, he says this, he says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God has poured out his love into our hearts. And the word poured out, it's not like you take a glass and you set it down and you get a jug and you fill it up. It's like you take a glass and you set it down and you get a fire hydrant and you fill it up, right? Like, it's poured out his love into our hearts. It's like it never stops. It's just always there. It's not like you can get empty of it. God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. How big is that? That's massive, right? And then in Ephesians, Paul prays this prayer. And you can turn there if you want. It's Ephesians 3:14. And he says this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of the Father's glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So Paul's praying for the Ephesians, going, might you be strengthened like in your inner being with this power that comes from God, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And I pray, being rooted and established in love. Like, it's like being rooted and established in love means like having your roots down in the ground, that it's just being drawn from love. That whatever you're doing, it's like establishing your life is coming from a point of love. An understanding that God is love and that establishes you and enables you to grow. That I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. That you may understand how big God's love is for you. It's bigger than you can ever imagine. And he's praying that you may understand that, that you might then know his love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, like know his love that surpasses this intellectual knowledge. That you may know it experientially. And Dave's talked about that, and we've talked about that over the years. Like, just this idea of there is ability to know that God loves you in your head, and there is an ability to experience that God loves you. And Paul is praying that the Ephesians would know his love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the full measure of God. Knowing God's love is one thing. Experiencing it, wow, that's just something completely different, right? So here's my problem. When I got asked to speak this Sunday on God's love, I got to be honest, I wasn't that excited about it. And then when I hear that it's Valentine's Day, like I just like... You know? And the problem is this, that as I stopped to consider, why did I not want to speak on God's love? In all honesty, it's because at that point in time, I didn't feel loved by God. I felt distant from God. I realized that the busyness of Christmas and having a late holiday and working through the gap and all that kind of stuff and just this full-on life something about it had made me stop feeling loved by God. I intellectually knew that he loved me, but I stopped experiencing that love. And because I stopped experiencing that love, like, I think what I'd done is I'd stopped trying to love God. And when I started trying to love other people, it was more done from a human perspective, with human love rather than with the pure love that drives us from God. It was more self-seeking and less of God is love, God is spirit, God is light. And so I felt this distance between God and me. And as I studied this, I suddenly started to realize that the distance was not God. God is not distant. He never gets far away. Like, he is right here, right now. You know, like, sometimes we can even think of God like being up there looking down on us. Like, he's not looking down on us. He's present. And so any distance that you feel you have is a distance that you're creating, not a distance that God's creating. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, he asks this question, like, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us from a God who is love? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? So any of those things separate us from God's love? Could our worries or people issues or where we live or our job or our school or money or our family or our health, can any of those things separate us from the love of God? And then he says, no. In these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth. I mean, like, you can go down to the darkest cave and God is going to be there. You could have jumped on the Voyager spacecraft 10 years ago and gone flying out past Pluto. That's about as high up as you can get right at the moment, and like be out there 10 years later. Like, it's still not high enough to be away from God. There is like neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because Jesus came and died for us, nothing will separate you from his love. You are loved. I told a story like to the young people last week, right, like when we were at camp, and I won't go through the whole detail of the story, but part of the story is somehow, I don't know how, I became disconnected from my boat, and like my boat's sailing off without me with no crew, and I'm trying to swim to catch up to it, okay? And so, like, I'm trying to swim to it, and I was telling the kids, like, sometimes we feel like God is over there and moving away from us, and we've got to work hard to try and get back to God. But in reality, God was in the life jacket and in the water and in the air that I was breathing. God surrounded me as he surrounds us right now in his love. If you feel distant from God's love, it's not because he is distant or that he doesn't love us. It's because you're creating that distance. Next week, Dave is going to talk about to love. We are loved. To love. And there is this incredible link, like I've already said, between us loving other people and experiencing God's love. The more we love other people, the more we love God, the more that we love the lost, the more that we experience love. But there's also this quietness that is required for us to experience God's love. And right now, some people in this room are like I was a few weeks ago, feeling a little bit separated from God's love. You feel like God is distant, when he's actually not, he's wrapping you up. And so I would encourage you this week, before we talk about what it is to love, what are you going to do this week to reconnect with God and experience his love? maybe it's like me, like I love walking down the beach. One of the places that I get closer to God is at the beach. Maybe living in Hamilton's one of my problems with God. But like I love walking down the beach by myself and just talking to God, and there's just one of those moments, you know. There's times that I'm just poring over His Word and I'm drawn in to God. For some of you, you will need to go and spend time with a particular person, and you know that that's going to help you feel God's love. For some of you, know it's just about praying again and understanding His love. Whatever it is, like, God is surrounding you right now, this week. Wherever you are surrounded by a God who is love. He desperately longs for you. This week, would you be drawn back into Him? God is love. And the God who is love would say to you today on Valentine's Day, I love you. To those who are close to Him right now, He would say, I love you. To those who have never known Him or never experienced His love, I love you and I sent my Son for you. To those who feel distance right now, He would say, I love you. To those who are trapped in darkness, He says, I love you. To those who know in their heads that God loves them but aren't experiencing it, I love you. I love you because I am love. I love you and I showed you because I sent my Son Jesus to die for you. I love you and I pour out my love into your hearts through my Spirit. I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. God is love. Let us pray. And to pray today, I'm just going to actually pray for you the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Father, I pray that of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with your power through your Spirit in our inner beings. Lord, I pray that that Christ would dwell richly in my heart and in everybody else's heart through faith. God, I pray that we would be rooted and established in love. Lord, that we may have the power together with everybody else to grasp how wide and long and high and deep your love for us is. Lord, I pray that that love will surpass just knowing that you love us. That this week, Lord, you will help us to experience that love that you have for us. Lord, draw us back into you today. Help us to know that you love us. Help us to have your love, your pure love, in our lives, Lord, so that as we try to love people and love our neighbors and love you, just with sin embedded in our lives, Lord, might we do that, Lord, just being driven from a love that you have. Radically change us, Lord. Help us to be equipped as a church, Lord, just to know that we are loved so that we can love others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.